The broadcast has started, so I'm going to go ahead and kick off the meeting. So thank you all for taking time out of your schedules this evening to participate in this scoping meeting for the notice of preparation for an environmental impact report for the 3300 Panorama Drive project. My name is Erlen Singwald. I'm the City of Morro Bay's Community Development Director. I've been in this role about 3.5 months, so I'm new to the city, and I'm new to this project as well. I also want to introduce a couple of consultants that are working for the city and assisting us in processing this application. We have Chris Burzbach with Rincon Consultants. They are preparing the environmental impact report. And Brian Schwartz is a land use planning consultant that's assisting us in processing the application. And I'm going to give an introduction to the project, and then Chris Burzbach is going to discuss the California Environmental Quality Act process for an environmental impact report. And then really the main purpose of the meeting is to open it up to listen to the public about the key environmental concerns that the environmental impact report should address and consider. On kind of a logistical note, so we sent out about 1,400 yellow postcards to pretty much all of North Morro Bay, inviting neighbors to participate in this meeting. We really wanted to get as much public participation as possible in the meeting. We did not account for Monday being a federal holiday, and so the postcard did arrive later than we had hoped. It's my understanding it arrived between 2 and 3 days before the meeting, so I apologize that we weren't able to give more advance notice. And because of the late notification, we are extending the comment period to submit comments on the notice of preparation by 2 weeks. So the postcard you received would have said that the deadline is November 1st. We're going to extend that 2 weeks to November 15th. So I wanted to just start off saying, again, I'm new as Morro Bay's Community Development Director. And since I started this role, I've spent quite a bit of time reflecting on, you know, what does community mean? What does the word mean? And, you know, to me, the word community really means people with different perspectives coming together and engaging in a civil dialogue. And that really is critical to the planning process. In my 20 years of experience as a planner, the more public engagement that we get in the process, the better the outcome is. So again, thank you so much for participating in this meeting tonight. So just very briefly, the agenda tonight is the introduction. I'm going to provide a project summary, then I'm going to turn it over to Chris Burzbach to talk about the EIR process, and then most of the time tonight is going to be dedicated really to us sitting here and listening to you, the public, addressing us on the issues at the EIR and your view from, you know, your knowledge of the community and neighborhood, what the EIR should focus on. So I wanted to present the purpose of this meeting, and really this is the why are we here slide. And I recognize that some of you are likely have a very sophisticated understanding of the planning process, and you're familiar with terms like CEQA and EIR, but not everyone has that same level of understanding, and I want to make sure that we're not using too many acronyms that you're not familiar with, and I want to simplify the process as much as possible to improve your understanding of the process and, again, like the acronyms that we use this evening. So I'm going to provide a very, I guess, foundational explanation of kind of where we are in the process and the purpose of this meeting. And if this is something you already know, I apologize and bear with me for a few minutes. So, you know, why are we here? So the landowner submitted an application to develop a 46-lot subdivision at 3300 Panorama. Now, under state law, the city is required to process this application. And one requirement of the process is to prepare an environmental determination under the California Environmental Quality Act. And I'm sure many of you have heard the term CEQA. It stands for California Environmental Quality Act. The city is what's called the lead agency under CEQA. And as lead agency, the city prepared a document, an initial scoping document called an initial study, and determined based on that initial study that the project requires the preparation of an environmental impact report or an EIR. Now, it's important to point out that an EIR is the highest level of environmental review under CEQA. The last statistic I heard on this from the state is something like, Chris, I'm sure would probably know the exact percentage, but something like 5 to 10% of projects at the most statewide require EIRs, and others are just exempt from CEQA or are approved with a much lower level of review called a mitigated negative declaration or a negative declaration. So this project is receiving the most comprehensive level of review under CEQA. The EIR will analyze the project's impacts under a wide range of different environmental issue areas that are all outlined by CEQA. And the EIR process is designed to involve the public throughout the process. Tonight's scoping meeting is the first in a series of opportunities for public involvement in the EIR process. The purpose of tonight's meeting, the scoping meeting, is for the public to weigh in on the environmental impacts that should be evaluated in the EIR from that local community neighborhood perspective that staff or our EIR consultants may not be familiar with themselves because they don't live next to the project the way you do. And our main role tonight as city staff and our EIR consultant is to listen to the public. And again, most of tonight will be us sitting here listening and taking notes as we hear from you about the concerns that should be addressed in the EIR. We will take, again, close notes on the comments. Also, the meeting is being recorded, so it'll be available for anyone, Planning Commission members, community members, anyone who wasn't able to be here tonight, they can go and they can watch the recording to see how the discussion went. I also want to address at this time what the purpose of the meeting is not. So the purpose of the meeting is not to make a decision, so no decisions will be made on the project this evening. It's not to discuss the merits of the project. It's understandable, and I won't be surprised if we hear comments about the pros and cons of the project. But really, the point of the meeting tonight is to hear from the public on the environmental concerns. Also, this isn't a forum for staff or the consultant to defend the project in any way. We're, again, at that initial information gathering stage in the process. We have no staff recommendation. We haven't determined any level of support or opposition for the project. We're very much open at this point to just learning as much as possible so that we can have a well-informed environmental impact report that we can publish and make available to the public and decision makers so there can be an informed decision on the project when it does eventually go forward to the Planning Commission for a hearing. And in that spirit, I genuinely believe that we all here are really on the same team tonight with the same goal of collecting the best information possible that we can disclose the environmental document and allow the decision makers to make a well-informed decision. Now, I'm just going to provide some high-level project information before I hand it over to Chris. So the project's located, again, at 3300 Panorama Drive between Whidbey and Sicily Streets. The project site is about 10 acres. Our general plan land use designation for the site is moderate density residential, and the zoning is residential single unit with an allowed density of 4.1 to 7 units per acre. Also, the postcard you received should have had information on where you can access the notice of preparation and the initial study, and that has a much more detailed project description. And again, the very high-level project overview is it's 46 two-story detached homes, furniture improvements consisting of sidewalks, landscaping, lighting, public parking, and undergrounding of utilities, public open space, protection of ESHA, private streets, and HOA maintenance, including stormwater detention basin, pocket park, roads, lighting, fencing, and open space. And again, I know this is very, very high-level and maybe difficult to read the slides, and we encourage you to review the initial study that's included with that notice of preparation as you prepare your written comments and submit those by that November 15th deadline. With that, I'm going to pass it over to Mr. Birzbach to discuss the EIR process.
Did I get this right? Oh, that sounds like I got it right. Thank you, Erlyn, for that detailed introduction. I actually deleted a couple of my notes because you covered some of the introductory points that I would usually cover about California Environmental Quality Act process, things like that. But I'm going to do a little bit of that at the outset here because I also would just want to make sure that we're all starting with the most full and complete information about what the process is that we're going through, where we're at in the process, and what sorts of information you can provide tonight and during the scoping period that is going to be really helpful to the city as they move through the environmental review process. Briefly, my name is Chris Bursbach. I'm a supervising planner with RINCON Consultants. We're working under contract to the city here. I have worked with Erlen in his role here at the city since he started. I've also been working on projects in Morro Bay and throughout San Luis Obispo County for the last 16 years, generally in partnership with our local cities and county governments. Our role here is to help the city conduct their required environmental review of this project. The notice of preparation that you have all received, being out for public review, means that the city is at the beginning of the environmental review process. And our task tonight is to hear and collect your input as people who are interested in what happens with this project on important environmental topics that need to be addressed in the city's EIR. So this slide describes the environmental review process and the next steps for completing environmental review of the project. For us to prepare that document, a good environmental document here is going to successfully collect and evaluate environmental data and develop mitigation that eliminates or minimizes potential impacts to the maximum extent feasible. And if that is not feasible, to identify impacts that are significant and unavoidable of the project. So what we're doing through this process is evaluating those environmental impacts, determining what they are, mitigating them to the best of the city's ability to do so, and then providing that information through staff to the city planning commission and city council to make the most well-informed determination about this project that they are able to make. So I want to point out a couple of kind of, I guess I'd call them constraints of the EIR process that'll help all of us focus what we can most effectively be talking about tonight and in the EIR as the city prepares it. So first, the EIR is limited to evaluating the physical environmental effects of a project. That means how the project would reasonably be expected to physically modify the environment. An EIR does not evaluate social or fiscal effects of a project. That's a separate consideration that the Planning Commission and City Council may consider, but it's not part of the environmental review process. Second, an EIR is required to identify practical mitigation, like I said, for any potentially significant environmental impacts of a project. And to try to have that mitigation be as feasible as possible, to make a determination about the feasibility of mitigation, and if mitigation cannot be identified that could feasibly be implemented to reduce an impact, then that would be a potentially significant environment or a significant and unavoidable environmental effect that will be disclosed in the EIR to decision makers. And then finally, I am going to kind of echo something Erlen said. Most importantly, there are no decisions about the project that can be made legally until an EIR is drafted, made available for the public to review and comment on, then finalized and reviewed and certified by the city's decision-making bodies. That all has to happen before a decision can legally be made about the ultimate dispensation of this application. Then I'd also point out that Planning Commission and City Council hearings for this project haven't yet been scheduled. I'll show a schedule later that anticipates when they may occur to the best of our knowledge now, but I just want to be clear that that is not going to happen until at least next year. And I think I can advance the slide from here. So as I talked about on the previous slide, the city's at the beginning of the environmental review process. What we've done so far is just the very first step, which is to prepare the initial study and the notice of preparation. The initial study is a preliminary scoping document that outlines, based on the best project data available at this stage, what the city believes some of the key environmental topics are that are going to require further scrutiny in the project EIR. The conclusions that are in the initial study may change as we move into the EIR phase and more scrutiny is applied and more data is collected. This is a data gathering process, and your input tonight is an important part of that process. The CEQA guidelines and the statute list a broad range of environmental issue areas that have to be addressed in every EIR. It's 21 different issue areas in the current version of the CEQA guidelines, and this project's EIR is going to discuss all 21 of those issue areas. What this slide shows are the five environmental topics that the city currently believes, based on the information we have about the project, are the most likely to experience potential significant impacts that are going to require a detailed and careful evaluation in the EIR and may require mitigation measures to minimize potential environmental impacts. And the city's initial study outlines this approach and includes preliminary discussion of all 21 issue areas. The initial study is available for download and review on the city's website. I would encourage everybody to take a look at it. It is a longish document, but it's worth a read. And some of the types of comments that are most valuable to us during this phase is if there are questions or concerns about those preliminary conclusions or different recommendations about how particular topics should be handled in the environmental impact report. So this slide outlines two really important concepts. The first is the list of specific items that the project's applicant is requesting that the city approve for this project to occur. That's what could happen during a public approval process that would occur after a final EIR is complete. The Planning Commission and the City Council have the authority to approve or deny these requested actions, but none of these can be approved until the final EIR is completed. The second bullet is a list of other public resource agencies other than the city that may be responsible agencies or have approval authority over components of this project. These are agencies that regulate coastal resources, protected plant and animal species, hazardous materials and public safety, clean water, and other resources that are environmentally important. And these resource agencies will also have the opportunity to review and comment on the initial study and the notice of preparation. If they have comments about the scope of the environmental document, they will provide those to the city. And they'll also have the opportunity to review and comment on the draft EIR and the final EIR. So this is the city's current estimated schedule for the project's environmental review process. As you can see, the scoping period is open through, as Erlyn said, November 15th. The city is going to be accepting comments on the scope of the project EIR up until that date, as well as at tonight's hearing. Our next step will be preparing the draft EIR that will evaluate the project's environmental impacts, including responses to any and all questions or comments submitted verbally during this meeting or in writing prior to the end of the scoping period in November. And we anticipate that a public draft of the EIR for the project would be available for review and comment likely early next year, and then that the final EIR could be completed by next summer for the Planning Commission and City Council to review and consider. So as a reminder, before I turn this back over to Erlyn and we open the floor for comments, the focus of this evening's meeting is to listen to and record verbal public comments on the scope of the draft EIR. Those may include potential environmental effects that we should consider in the draft EIR, any technical questions that reviewers have regarding the city's approach to the environmental review process for this project, potentially mitigation measures that might reduce or eliminate the project's potential environmental impacts, and and potentially any environmental, any alternatives that might that should be considered in the draft EIR that might provide environmental benefits. We're asking that commenters, you all help us tonight by focusing your comments on the scope of the environmental review process rather than opinions or statements about the merits of the proposed project. Just to reiterate, all comments in writing, or all comments received in writing during the public review comment or verbally in tonight's meeting, which is being recorded, will be responded to in full in the draft EIR. So with that, I'll turn it back over to Erlyn.
Thank you, Chris. So next slide is just outlining how to submit comments on a notice of preparation. As I mentioned at the beginning, we are extending the 30-day public comment period on the notice of preparation by 2 weeks. So now the deadline is November 15th instead of November 1st. And also, as Chris mentioned, any comments that are made verbally tonight will be recorded as a comment on the notice of preparation and will be discussed and addressed in the draft EIR. You can also submit comments by mail or email to Kim Fowler, who's the planning manager. And you can see her contact information listed on this slide. Also, on the table at the front of the room, I have printed out a copy of the slide, so you can just grab that on your way out, and you'll have Ms. Fowler's contact information to submit those written comments. And with that, so really the rest of the meeting is dedicated to the public and allowing you to provide verbal comments. We're not gonna set the timer, although we do ask that you keep your comments under 3 minutes if possible. Also, if you could state your name and speak at the podium so we get you on the audio and we're able to record your comments. And with that, we will just open it up for public comment.
Good evening. My name is Helene Finger, and I'm a registered professional civil engineer and a homeowner here in Morro Bay. I wanted to start by thanking you for the opportunity to comment on the EIR for this project. Specifically, I request that the EIR evaluate multimodal traffic impacts and determine mitigation measures for people driving cars, walking, and rolling on bicycles, scooters, roller skates in the neighborhood. Specific attention in the EIR should be paid to evaluating the impact on how people walking and biking can access this site and the surrounding neighborhood, not just within the property and the project. So I broke down three comments in the three areas. For pedestrians, my suggestion is to add sidewalks to Tahiti Street. The site plan had shown that this is the main motorized vehicle site entrance, and there's only sidewalks partially in that location. For bikes, I suggest creating a bike route on Panorama to connect to the bike network on Yerba Buena, which then connects to the Morro Bay to Cayucas connector. And for cars, the EIR should address ways to encourage cars to travel north-south on Main Street, which is an arterial roadway, not on Panorama Drive. My suggestion would be to convert Panorama to a bike boulevard starting at Tahiti, allowing only bikes to go towards Cayucas on Panorama. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Jean Marie Colby, and I live in North Morro Bay on Whidbey Street. I just started looking at the initial study yesterday. And I first want to ask if we could have a second meeting, because I know there's a lot of people who did not get notice in time to be able to make this meeting in our neighborhood. We have a large neighborhood, and a lot of people would like to be here that couldn't make it. So I was hoping you could schedule another meeting in maybe early November so they could come and speak as well. I have to say I'm pretty confused and flabbergasted that a scoping meeting would have already narrowed the scope for this EIR before we participate. I look through the initial study and I see that determinations have already been made that the greatest area of hazard, which is the geology and soils, the landslide possibility and earthquakes, has already been eliminated as an area of concern, when that's a huge concern. And I'm going to show you a map here that I pulled up from USGS. If you see these circles here, I didn't draw these. These are just a screenshot. These areas that have historically have our landslide areas are at least twice the size of the development area and are above it and intersect in some parts. And all I've seen in terms of mitigation is we'll give a 10-foot buffer to the homes that are near that area. And I think about Asheville. Can you imagine if you were, and I was, when I lived in San Mateo, I was like this. I had a home that was just a few feet from a flood zone. But as we see climate change evolving, and you think about Asheville, the people who were told, you're 10 feet from a flood zone, and now their house has gone downstream. The one thing that we know we can predict is that storms are getting bigger, impacts are less predictable, but they're worse than we thought. And just in the last 2 years, seeing the rainstorms, I could look around the hillsides and see slippage myself in areas that are not considered landslide areas. So, and they're also talking about bringing in fill, which makes it even more unstable. You have a letter that's been submitted to you by a local Morro Bay resident named Antonio Garcia. He's a professor of geology at Cal Poly. I want to read a couple passages from this letter. He indicates that since at least the academic year of 2002 and 2003, he has used in his classes the herein named North Morro Bay Landslide Complex as an example of terrain that is unsuitable for development. And he talks further about this area, saying that he's made notes himself about evidence showing that power lines and post fences are conspicuously tilted. He's seen evidence that slides are already happening and that the area is failing. He talks about this part of North Morro Bay is considered a paleo landslide area, first moved thousands of years ago, and he gives a history of that. And he talks about North Morro Bay landslide complex had damage in 1983 and 1995. And so for the consultant to eliminate that by just checking boxes that say less than significant on that whole page is extremely disturbing to me. It makes me actually think about RINCON and how they basically never addressed the thermal runaway damage, potential impacts from thermal runaway with a BESS. And now here we are again with the worst possible outcomes of a landslide that could end up bringing those houses down onto our homes and killing lots of people and damaging property, just being completely downplayed and dismissed. So I think that the initial study should be done over and that there should be no determinations made in advance of really good independent work done, including peer-reviewed studies, et cetera. And we will be providing some of that with Professor Garcia. I'm also concerned with impacts to Island Street homes below that area in the event of a landslide, also with earthquakes and liquefaction, particularly when fill is added. Imagine the 1989 earthquake in San Francisco, which flattened parts of town that were built on fill. And then the construction impacts and safety issues to North Morro Bay from construction trucks and equipment in a part of town that's really underdeveloped. We have no sidewalks. We have very few stop signs. This is an area where elderly people walk dogs in the middle of the street. Children ride their bikes in the middle of the street. Surfers walk up and down the street. We don't have anywhere to go. There's not even enough room for parking. So there really isn't enough room for what I heard last year at the meeting was 75 trucks per day with fill being brought in to deliver in that area. And then, of course, there'll be all other kinds of utility trucks. And it's just not a safe place to do that. We are not built for that. And I feel like that impact, those impacts need to be studied as well. And then the impacts to the Morro Bay water supply and other utilities and infrastructure, including drainage. I think they were also, in the hydrology page here, they were also downplayed. But we have drainage issues already with a huge amount of drainage under the condos that are right below that area. Once you start to stir up the soil and bring in more fill there, we're going to have a much bigger problem there as well. So I feel like this is just not an area that should be developed at all. But if that's a conclusory type thing, then it just needs to be studied better. And I think we should go back and undo these decisions that have already been made. I don't know how you get to that point so early when this is the scoping period and we're supposed to be participating in it, but somehow decisions have already been reached that there's five areas to discuss and they don't even include landslides and geology and soils. So I'd like to ask again if we could have a second meeting and have more of the public notified and able to come and participate in this. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. And I will just announce as well that anyone who wasn't able to attend the meeting this evening would be able to, of course, submit written comments by mail or email that will be considered as well.
Good evening. My name is Kristen Headland. I've lived in Morro Bay, North Morro Bay, across from this project for 33 years. I'm here to support what Jean Marie just said. I too have documents, the same documents she has, but I'd like to offer this one is the flood zone that is on that property, and that's a big concern for us with the climate change, as she noted. Also, we have the Cambria Fault that runs along the Panorama Hills that is not mentioned in these documents. I, too, am upset about having the geology report say less than significant for a landslide area. This property sits in the toe of the historic landslide that we had in 1983, and then there was another one in 1995 that Mr. Garcia writes a report on, a letter that he has given to us. He actually teaches this in his class. He uses the Panorama Hills. I, too, would like to have another scoping meeting. I'm wondering if today you guys are using the minutes from the last meeting that took place on 11/7/2023, where we had an audience full of people giving public comments. Are those comments added to this? Have you reviewed the YouTube videos to see how the neighbors felt? So I do have a couple more points, and I'll just carry on here. The site preparation and grading of the site will involve around 9,000 cubic yards of material to be moved about, which will require dust control and watering. Hundreds of thousands of gallons of water will be needed to achieve compact at this site. Where is this water coming from? The city's drinking water supply? What should be considered unreasonable use according to 100 of the California Water Code? My next item is, the intent is to establish the base elevation of the structure after grading the site. This will raise the height of each structure. This was proposed to the Planning Commission, who rejected the concept. The base grade is what exists today before any finishing grade takes place. Their grading plans, sheet C8 through C11, are out of compliance. Transportation, circulation is a big issue for me. Transportation, traffic is not included in your list of topics covered on the EIR. This must be due to the narrowness and the lack of foundation under the street designation as the ingress and egress of this property. We have a lot of concerns. The landslide zone is number one, and I'm wondering if the city and the developer is working with San Luis Obispo County, because the property is in the San Luis County zone where the landslide is that taps into 3300 Panorama. I'm sure they have some comments and concerns about this project going forward, and I want to thank you for your time, and I do would like to have another scoping meeting so that more people can attend, and that's all for me. Thank you.
Thank you. And anyone who has maps or any type of written exhibits, I'd strongly encourage you to submit those to us via the contact information on the slide in response to the notice of preparation by November 15th.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you. My name's Alan Belt, and I live at 499 Whidbey Way, about 50 feet from the planned development. Let me just tell you what we experience. As it stands right now, the existing drainage is totally inadequate. The street flows up to our front yard, up to our patio. And sometimes when we have the torrential events, it actually gets up almost to our front door. Now, this is going to result in a lot more pavement, a lot more space that is unable to absorb any water, rather than have it sort of increase the runoff and exacerbate that problem. I understand in reading the document that's out there that there is a storm drainage plan, but I would reiterate that the existing storm drain is not adequate. My wife goes out every time we have a storm and rakes it because it becomes blocked. And I've never seen the city up there doing that. So that is a very big concern to me. Also, you cannot, and I'm not suggesting you are going to try to do that, but this document cannot discount impacts on the human environment. And I must say, I agree totally with the first two speakers and support what they said. The streets there are inadequate for the traffic that currently exists. And when you add 400 plus vehicles, vehicle trips per day, that's going to turn that into an absolute disaster. And just personally, it's certainly not what we anticipated when we bought our home there to retire. So thank you for the opportunity to comment. I just hope you address fully the flood drainage problem. And as I said, I agree. And by the way, we live 50 feet away from this, and we didn't get a notice. You mailed out 1,400. I'm not sure how you can miss the house that's closest to what's happening there. Anyway, thank you very much for your attention.
I'm following my husband. I'm Catherine Belt. So I'd like to speak a little bit about some of the comments to your notice of preparation. One of the items you indicated was there'll be less than significant impact for pedestrian access. I don't know how many times you've gone down Panorama, but I'm there every day and I see bikers, joggers, women with their baby carriages. It's all day long. It sounds like this project will, as far as the initial 1 year, breaking up everything, then 2 years building homes, which I'm sure will go way past that, and you're making a significant impact on all the people that use this street. Another item I'd like to speak to is the Esha. It's an absolutely gorgeous area of the community, and we have our owls, hawks, eagles, coyotes, deer, everything's over there. When the tanks were removed initially, the person that was doing that cut down trees that they were not allowed to cut down. From what I understand, they were assessed a fine of $100 and told to plant some more trees. I'm very concerned that the disturbance and perhaps the destruction will take place and we'll never get it back. You indicate there's a potential increase to stormwater runoff. Again, my husband just spoke to that. It's a disaster when we have a rain, and from what I heard the other day, they're saying we have a couple more years. They're predicting a very, very strong rains. Your documentation indicates 92 new persons moving into the development. I'm assuming what they did, whoever came up with 92, is they took the 46 new houses and multiplied it by two. I don't know where these people are going to put their children. They're also talking about having 16 casitas. I don't know where they're going to put those people. So that needs to be taken into effect and into consideration. We've been told for years that water usage needs to be monitored in California. And believe me, myself and all my neighbors do that. But you're indicating in the notice of preparation there's sufficient water available for multiple dry years. Who do we believe? I mean, that just seems silly. Apparently, the increased traffic, which is 25 worker trips and 33 trips for grading, is considered to be okay. I'd really like for the city people to go out and go up and down these streets. There's traffic on both sides of the streets. You often have to wait for somebody coming in the opposite direction to proceed down the road. It's, and of course, the very failing infrastructure is a disaster. The development's going to have a substantial effect on humans related to noise, traffic, and dust pollution. I just don't know that any of this is being taken into consideration. We had a meeting a while back at Del Mar, and all of these things were talked about, and I can't see that it's ever been considered. I hope you folks will. Thank you for listening to me.
Good evening. My name is Nancy Bast. I'm a 40-plus year resident of Morro Bay. I don't live in North Morro Bay. I live in South Morro Bay. And I don't feel that only North Morro Bay will be affected. The entire community, which is only 4 square miles, will all be affected. And everybody will share in the cost when that hillside slides. I have some questions, and I'd like you to answer them in public so that everybody knows what the answers are. Number one, please identify for the public the, quote, key changes to the circulation design and redesign layout and grading plan based on Planning Commission feedback during the conceptual review, unquote. Number two, please identify if the developer is engaging in any density bonus or other type of benefit program. Please identify, number three, please identify which, if any, of the new state housing laws apply to this project. Or, because this proposal was submitted before the laws were passed, are they not applicable? Or, does the developer have the choice? Number four, and this is the biggie, and you can't avoid this. Everybody's going to talk about it. There were landslides at the new WRF sewer site because the toe of the hill was cut into. This was a known danger, but the cutting happened anyway. We never got heard on that or on the EIR. What protection do the neighbors have from the city that they will not let this happen here, since it is in the same geology as the sewer plant? Thank you.
My name's Tom Redinger, and I live on 429 Yerba Buena. 47 years. Same house. Oh, I'm going to turn around and face them. They'll hear me. Everybody hear me? The microphone is cracked. I couldn't hear anybody on it.
Well, sir, it's also so we can get you on the recording so we can go back and listen to the comments and make sure we record them accurately.
They'll hear this and that. The property is moved 11 inches since 84 towards the sea. It's facing me.
Yeah, I know, but you can stand right here and speak this way to it.
Oh, I can stand there and speak that one. It's moved 11 inches every time. When our lots were surveyed, Sputnik hadn't been in the sky. Now all surveys are done through satellite. So when the new guy comes in to remodel his house, and he puts out there and he goes, your fence is on my property. I meant, this is moving to the sea. Our whole area is moving. And another question, on the environmental impact report, do those frogs and lizards, snakes and whatever, do they count in that? I meant, or do people count? Do people count in an environmental? Or are we just people of no consequence to the developers? And to think that they are going to use that street that goes straight up to their project. They're going to use Yerba Buena. They're going to fly up that freeway. Those semis cannot make that turn and get out of there without cutting somebody's lot. It's impossible. So they're going to fly down Yerba Buena, destroy our street, and then they are going to destroy it. 7,000 truckloads they want to pull out? Why would they pull it out if it's not contaminated? It's contaminated. They just don't want a lawsuit when they start building. Is this, can I ask you, is this a done deal and we're just wasting our time? Do you know? I meant, is it been decided and this is just window dressing? I meant, that project was originally 4 or 5 acre parcels for little horse ranches. People had, they asked us, did you have any problem with that? No. 4 or 5 acre piece with a barn and ride their horse. We didn't care. And then they pulled the tanks down and then it started getting bigger and bigger and bigger. We just don't know when we're being lied to anymore by developers. Thank God they bought all the rest of those lots above. Otherwise there'd be 3,000 homes up there. But I don't know. Is this just a waste of time? We feel like that because we were never consulted on this at all, the people that live there. They run the stop signs, and there's no one that in this room probably doesn't have a GPS that says, turn right, get off the freeway, turn right, go straight up Yerba Buena, turn right on Panorama, and boom, you're there. That thing of using 3 streets down, that's a joke. They aren't going to use that because they could, that street's the same width as ours, but they seem to fly on Yerba Buena. They built 5 houses up above us near the water tank. They completely destroyed that road at Panorama and Yerba Buena, up and around. Those trucks, just regular guys working. And it's going to take 3 years to build that. By the time they're done, who's going to fix our roads? Nobody. Oh, well. But I just wanted to know if it's a done deal and we're just wasting our time showing up. I think that's what they want.
So after everyone's had a chance to give comments, we'll go ahead and provide some responses to the questions that came up during the public comments.
Yeah, we just feel like we've been stepped on. We were never considered in this at all, what we thought of it. Everybody in this room, nobody wants it, right? I mean, you just call a spade a spade. Nobody wants that project there because they know. We finally have kids walking down Yerba Buena. Young families are moving in and buying, you know, I'm dying and the kids move in the house and now they got families. We see them going down with their little wagons and stuff. You think those trucks are going to stop? I guarantee you Morro Bay will hire professional flaggers and those trucks will be zooming down Yerba Buena when they're trying to grade that thing off. And they haven't really said the height of the project. They show us a flat thing. How can you sell a house for $1.5 million to $2 million that doesn't have a beach view? So they're going to have to bring in soil to rebuild it, shape it, so that they can terrace and look over Panorama to the sea. There's nobody saying this. You know, they can sell the bottom, what, those little teeny 25-foot lots or whatever they have all crammed in the beginning. But they never considered us at all. Like the book said, I'll make it quick. Many years ago in the early 60s and late 50s, all these women in eastern Nevada and western Utah were complaining about breast cancer. It's horrible. Their rates went up 1,000%. They'd never had it before. So the Atomic Regulatory Commission, big government, looked at those women and said, I don't care, you're people of no consequence. That's the way I feel when I see dealing with this. You treat us like we're people of no consequence. We have no feelings. Environmental impact report, don't we count? Our lives are shattered by speeders. The police don't even come out there. They never did when I first moved here. They were afraid. But, you know, I see this as already done deal. They aren't backing off. So, I don't know. Thank you.
You had to lower it a foot, huh? My name is Kenna Morris, and I live on Whidbey Street, just down from Panorama. My first question to you gentlemen, has any of you walked that area yourselves? Maybe, maybe not. If you would just look into your ethical souls and walk that area, I think you might get a feel for where we're all coming from. Don't drive by in your car, get out and walk. Walk up and down Panorama. Jeannie Marie brought, you know, attention to where the slide area is. He's talked about the traffic. All those things are true. I think just judging by how we're all responding, I think it's imperative that we have another meeting before the 15th of November where anyone who couldn't make it tonight can speak. Because writing it and sending it in does not have the same face-to-face impact as looking us all in the eye and all of us bonding together as a community. So that's kind of my number one point, is we need another meeting. In those bullet points you had there earlier, no geological report has been done. We don't seem to see any reports by Fish and Wildlife, either California or the U.S. Fish and Game. And if you walk up there, especially if you walk up there at sundown, you will see herds of wild turkeys, the owls at night, coyotes, foxes, deer, squirrels, all kinds of animals that will be severely impacted. There is a beautiful creek there that runs down Panorama. Very old trees. Let us pray you guys aren't going to cut any of them down. They're hundreds of years old. And also that end of Panorama is eroding. Orange cones everywhere. They're still there from last winter. They can't keep that road repaired. It's probably 30 feet long down Panorama, facing east, facing the hills. And if you look over the K-rail, it's 4 to 6 feet down, undermining all of the tarmac there. Well, that's just kind of a snapshot of what those roads are going to look like down the line. I would really stress that the developer not just think about the profit margin, but once you develop that land, it's forever changed. And the neighborhood, again, walk it on foot. Walk up and down Yerba Buena and go down and look at the sunset with all the rest of us sunset zombies who do that every night. And you'll see what they're talking about, kids and bikes and surfboarders. I ride my bike there all the time. Those roads are so narrow, you can hardly get just a big pickup down there. I don't know how these huge trucks are going to get down there without taking everybody's side mirrors off and hopefully not running over any animals in the process or children. So we really need another face-to-face meeting. The geology report needs to be in there. The Fish and Wildlife, U.S. and California, needs to be involved. We need those specific impacts down to the gnat's eyelash. I want to see that they really did their due diligence. Because this is our home. We live there. So go check it out yourself on foot, please.
Good evening. Linda Donnelly, Morro Bay. I do not live in the area that's affected, but that doesn't mean that I'm not concerned about that end of town. Very concerned. I remember when Panay Street slid. It was either in the late 80s or the early 90s. How scary for that to happen. And I have a friend who, when it rains really hard, looks out her up her street to make sure the hills aren't sliding. Back when the Planning Commission heard this, and you brought the plans, and they were talking about how they were going to build the homes and the base grading and or at grade or whatever the term is, you were told that it wasn't going to work to fix it. And if we look at the plans today, it's the same. So it's as if your company ignored the Planning Commission. That needs to be changed. You know, and Ms. Bast talked about when they built the sewer plant, you know, and how we had the two slides out there. The contractor should have known it was an environmentally sensitive area, but the city was in such a rush that they didn't go through the proper procedure and go through the county, because it isn't county land, and have their planning commission look at it, have their traffic control look at what it will always going to be involved. And I understand that the 3300 is not in the same category as needing a CDP, but what are the environmental impacts? Am I wrong? You're looking at the sky. I thought you were just thinking about what I'm saying. Yeah, I thought you were. Does it need a CDP?
Yes, that is one of the permits that is required of this project.
Oh, so are you taking it to the county to let it go through that process?
So, as Erlen mentioned,
Thanks, Bob.
Excuse me. As Erlen mentioned, we'd love to take all the comments. Here are a couple of the key questions that we could respond to, and then maybe...
Okay.
But there, the previous slides that we went over, there is a conditional use permit, vesting tentative tract map, that would be going to the city council, the Planning Commission, City Council, along with the EIR.
Okay.
Yep.
So if it needs a CDP, I'll just ask that question. Are you going through that, or does it have to go through the process that was avoided? They didn't go through the county and get the county approval from those different committees that it should have gone through because it was in county area.
So I want to make sure everyone has
Is it in the sphere of influence? Is that why?
The project site's currently in the city limits, correct?
It's in the city.
Yeah, it's in the city
limits? Okay.
Yes.
But anyway, the two slides that we had, at least two, if not three, there's that concern. There's, you know, construction dust, the traffic, I'm going to echo everything everybody's already said. But when you look at the plans, it's as if they were not taken into consideration what our city planning commission said to you when that meeting was, maybe a year ago or so. Okay, thank you.
Hello, my name is Terry Penfold. I live on the corner of Yerba Buena and Panorama. So I echo all the concerns that I've been hearing right now. One of my major concerns, obviously, is the traffic flow. With Yerba Buena being one of the only stoplights to get into that area, they either have to come in through San Jacinto or on Yerba Buena. Those are the only two accesses into that area. So once again, if they're saying they're going to make these trucks turn and go up a couple of streets in the middle. For one thing, the turn is almost impossible. The second thing is, in the middle, if they go down Tahiti or one of those other streets, they're so narrow that the traffic will be impacted that the trucks aren't even going to be able to be there. Therefore, as like my neighbor Tom said, they're going to be using Yerba Buena. And so they're going to be coming off of the freeway. They're going to be coming down Yerba Buena. Once again, our street isn't even wide enough for these big trucks to be coming in and having our cars parked in the area, which legally we can park our cars there. However, we won't be able to do that. Once again, we've got children in the neighborhood, and everybody walks their animals. I walk my dog a couple times a day. I meet millions of people doing that. And then the concern also about coming up Yerba Buena, turning down Panorama. If you've been down Panorama, it's not even a full street. I don't even think it's legally a street. You can't have two lanes. Two cars cannot possibly pass each other on that street at the same time. There's no kind of road development there for even the traffic, for the trucks to be handled. The traffic can't do it. Another thing is that I do want to address is the water issue. We keep being told we don't have enough water, we don't have enough water, we don't have enough water. And yet now, not only are you going to be adding the water for 47 more houses, but you're going to be adding the water just to build this subdivision, the water that you're going to be using just to compact the soil that will be coming in is way more than what we've been told we even have. And so those are some of my concerns, and I appreciate your time, and I echo everything everybody else has said, particularly the part about the wildlife. I live right on the corner. I see the turkeys. I see the animals and all of that all of the time. And so I just really feel like there needs to be a lot more studies done. And on the landslides, particularly those landslides, if those have not been addressed, that's a huge concern for us. When we had the floods we had 2 years ago, where it split Morro Bay in half, literally we couldn't get from our house to the other side of Morro Bay. There was no way to get out of Morro Bay. We couldn't get out through Cayucas. We couldn't get out through 41. But I don't see any drainage being really addressed in this. And so I think until they start fixing the problems that we already have in our subdivision, I don't think they should be adding more to it. The roads, like they talked about, they've had those orange cones up there for well over a year. And when I went walking there the other day, they've added. It's almost double the size of what it has been. But I don't see anybody doing anything on it. I don't see anybody trying to make our streets safer for the residents that are already there. We've got potholes. We don't have sidewalks. And so I think all of these things need to be addressed in our existing subdivision as well as what you're proposing. So thank you for your time.
Any more comments?
Good evening. My name is Kelly Lewis. I live on the corner of Sicily and Tide. And I've seen the giant trucks when they tore out those tanks rumbling down Sicily. You couldn't, that street cannot accommodate more than one truck at what, and barely that. So my question is, I know that those trucks can make the turn because they were making it when they moved those tanks out from the Panorama site. So if you're going to be running these trucks up and down Sicily, how are you going to accommodate? Are you going to widen the street? Are you going to take away my yard where I park my car? Because the street is not built for that. Yerba Buena, none of our streets are wide enough to have that kind of movement. The beauty of that area, the water, the last meeting that we had last year, it was discussed that the sewer pipe that goes from up there all the way out to the sewer is not built to handle that kind of capacity. Is it? I don't know. Is that part of your report? Yeah, it's not built for that. It was built for what's existing. So the water issues, primarily the human impact. Our community is a pedestrian community, primarily Tide Street. There hardly ever a car drives it because you don't need to, because every house is on the corner. And so it becomes a promenade with people and their animals and their children walking. And this would severely impact the nature of our community. I talked to my wife about it. She says, that project goes, that's when we move. You're going to turn us into a ghost town because we don't want to live through this. Thank you.
My name's David Wilson, and I'm a 37-year resident on Yerba Buena. So I have seen sort of the evolution, you know, before the cloisters, before the Toro Point development, before the light. And then at one time we finally got the stop signs put in on Yerba Buena, which helped. But we really do take the brunt of all the traffic coming off Highway 1. No matter what you say, it comes up our road. And it's a double block, the second part before you get to Panorama, and I live right in the middle of that. I've always wanted to get speed humps to slow down what already exists and has gotten significantly worse over the last, 15 years, obviously more in the 37 years. But also the change in the water flow, that whole area, all of our houses are settling and moving a little bit. We've seen that because of just the small amount of the construction above, significantly more runoff under a lot of our houses. We have sump pumps, which we didn't used to have. None of that is being dealt with. We have to deal with it individually. I just don't see how a development of that concentration, not even adding the traffic, it just seems out of proportion to the neighborhood and would make a significant impact. And I think what Tom was stating, we are part of the environment. It just seems like too much. And I feel like it's somewhat ignored that if you're on Yerba Buena, you're going to get the brunt of all of this construction traffic and the new traffic of the people that live there. It just seems like it's just too much. Anyways, thank you.
Anyone else? I think I see some. Yeah,
ma'am. Can I just follow up to my earlier comment?
Sure, if you could just make it brief.
Yes, I'll come forward. I just want to clarify, because I was so surprised and a little upset when I saw that some scoping decisions appeared to have been made. But maybe I'm wrong, and maybe you're still determining the scope, and the five areas that you identified are not actually the only five areas you'll address if you hear from us that the other are a concern. Is that right? That we can still expand the scope with our comments to include the hydrology issues, to include especially the landslide, the liquefaction and earthquake issues.
It's still on. That's correct.
Okay.
I had a little bit about this in my portion of the presentation.
Okay.
I think it's worth restating. Sorry. That this is a preliminary environmental evaluation based on information that the city has at this time about the project, and one of the primary purposes of tonight's meeting is to hear if there are perspectives that other issues need to be evaluated more fully or differently, or to hear from local residents about these concerns.
Okay, because what I've heard tonight is that a lot of people are concerned about landslides, a lot of people are concerned about the water hydrology drainage issues, the ESHA impacts, although I saw that you had those marked as potentially significant anyway. But I hope you will expand the scope to include the areas that we're talking about and address them in the EIR. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sir?
My name is Paul Rockenbach, and I am a homeowner on Tahiti Street. It's a rental property for me, and I can appreciate all the comments that have been made here. I have one other comment that I don't think has been addressed. With all this traffic that's going to be occurring during construction and after construction, what's going to happen to these streets, what's going to happen to the homes, and what's going to happen to the home value? I think the home values are going to go down, and I don't think anybody here wants to find out that they want to move and find out they're not going to be able to sell their house for what they thought they'd be able to. Thank you.
My name is Sherilyn Swadener. I live on the corner of Tide and Mindoro Street in North Morro Bay. I have been a homeowner there for over 40 years. I've seen the slippage along Panorama when it slipped in 1995. And my concern, along with all of the others, is the financial impact for any of the residents who live in our area, or even in the city of Morro Bay. All of the studies and all of the reports and all of the changes that may need to happen to our own properties to mitigate the effects of flooding or the street infrastructure is all in question as far as who's going to pay for all of that. I've heard over and over again how the city of Morro Bay is in a financial dire situation, therefore allowing more short-term rentals, et cetera, ad nauseum. Who's going to pay for it all? I don't want to. This is my forever home. I don't have the income to move someplace else. Thank you for your listening.
Would anyone else like to provide comments?
I would just like to mention that I did not, I'm going to be quick. I mentioned before, I did not get the card. A lot of my neighbors did not get the card. I'm supposed to be on the list from the city where
I'm sorry,
I said. I did not get the card. Many of my neighbors did not get the card. I'm on a list with the city that supposedly if anything happens on Panorama, I'm going to get copies of it. Nothing ever came. So the last meeting that I went to regarding this was jam-packed because everybody knew about it. And I think that's why we don't have as many people here tonight. Now, I don't know what happened with the cards, but it needs. Yeah, not soon enough. So if you'd look into that. Thank you.
Of course.
Hi, my name's Margaret Carmen, and I agree with so much of what everybody said, but I want to say, it's just magical thinking to say, tell people to send in an email because they're passionate and people don't like to write. I come to council meetings all the time. I don't write any letters. And I just want to beg you, if you really care about Morro Bay and you're new to Morro Bay, so show us that you really care and have another meeting, please.
Wade Mendonca. We bought a place here about 3 years ago. My question is, and I come from the Central Valley where there's a lot of ag and stuff, and I know from past experiences that zoning has to be made or changed before they can go into a residential. Has that been done yet?
This site is currently zoned for a single-family residential, so it's consistent with the current zoning.
Okay, I didn't know if that, because when we go from country or farmland into a residential area, you had to go through somebody to get there, and I'm a novice at this, so I'm not sure who that is, if it's the city or if it was, so that's already been done.
Correct. There's some development projects where they first come and ask to change the zoning to allow for the use they want to establish, but this site is currently zoned for the subdivision.
Even though it was fenced off and part of the whole mountain?
Correct. It's still zoned for
all
single
of it
family.
Is?
The entire property is, yes.
Okay, so they but did a lot line adjustment to get that into the city set part.
Yeah, I'm not sure on that fact. But I can tell you the current site is zoned for residential single family.
Okay. Thank you.
And I see that there are some people who are starting to leave. I know I said I would respond to comments at the end after everyone's had a chance to speak, but just to make sure as many people hear this as possible, considering some people are leaving, I did want to respond now to a really, really important process question. There have been one or two questions about, you know, is this just a foregone conclusion? And, you know, to what extent will the human, you know, impacts of the neighborhood be considered? And that's a very important question, and I wouldn't want anyone to leave this room believing that this is somehow a foregone conclusion. So I want to make it really, really clear that we are early in the process. I understand the project's been around for a couple years, but as far as CEQA, as far as moving forward for a planning commission hearing, we're still very early in that process, and it absolutely is not close to being a foregone conclusion. Staff and everyone up here is city planning staff, or well, I'm city community development director, and these are consultants that are working for the city, so essentially extensions of city staff. We have no position on the project. We do not support or oppose the project. We're just collecting as much information as possible so we can have informed decision making on this project, and that's our responsibility to the public and to the community of Morro Bay. Also, this is a discretionary project. That means there's no guarantee that it's going to be approved. So the applicant can go through this EIR process, they can go to planning commission hearings, the planning commission will listen to the public and will have to ultimately make a difficult decision to approve the project, deny the project, or approve some modified version of the project to reduce impacts or to address some of the community concerns. As far as, you know, to what extent are we looking at neighborhood impacts or human impacts, that's a very important part of the process. No, it's not necessarily always looked at in the environmental impact report. In fact, Chris may have explained in his presentation that, you know, socioeconomic impacts are not generally considered in an EIR. But for the Planning Commission and City Council to be able to approve a discretionary project like this, they have to make special findings that the project will be consistent with public health, safety, and welfare, and will not adversely impact the community character or the neighborhood. And those are required findings. Again, it's discretionary. There's really no guarantee of what the outcome is. And your comments tonight and the comments that you're going to provide at the Planning Commission hearings and the comments you're going to provide on the draft EIR, that's real critical information that's going to inform that decision making. So I just really wanted to, I can't emphasize that enough.
If we pass A24 that says any project in this town now cannot just be sided by a couple of people that would affect us.
Yeah, let me go ahead and respond. Some people from the audience are responding as well. So A24 only applies to the Vistra site and the Measure D area.
Only to the battery plant?
Correct, yes. Also, this project is consistent with the existing zoning. It doesn't require a rezone like Vistra would. So I'm not in a position right now to commit to that. What I can say is that, first of all, I'm very disappointed to hear that not everyone received the yellow postcard. I've been checking with my office, and we have some staff who live in North Morro Bay. I've been asking every day, did you get your postcard? So I understand that
they arrive late, and I've heard today in some cases didn't arrive at all, and that's very concerning to me because we genuinely wanted to publicize this and get as many people out here as possible. With all that said, it's not necessarily a legal requirement. It's something we were going above and beyond doing to get as much participation as possible. Again, there's still an opportunity to submit written comments, and we're not the decision makers here. We're just staff collecting information. That information can be conveyed just as well in writing. So I can't right now commit that we're going to have another scoping meeting. I haven't seen a project before have multiple scoping meetings. But I definitely hear the concerns, and I'll take it into consideration. Terry.
Guess I better be on the mic. Terry Waller. I live on Sicily Street. And I was wondering, does this require a coastal development permit? Does it actually require approval by the Coastal Commission?
So the project is not in the coastal original jurisdiction, so it can be approved by the city, but there is appealability to Coastal Commission because of the presence of ESHA on the site.
Okay. As long as I'm up here, I just want to make a couple, can I make a couple quick comments? So basically, this subdivision, the existing subdivision, is essentially a deficient substandard subdivision by current standards. The streets are too narrow. Panorama is basically a one-lane road that serves as a primary pedestrian access to the park for all the kids, and anybody that walks to the park uses Panorama. I guess if the project approves the section of Panorama that it fronts, that will address that part of it. But basically, there's a lot of infrastructure deficiencies. As people have mentioned, there's no sidewalks. The streets are not designed as two-lane. I mean, they're not 24 feet wide. And as to the drainage, I can't really speak too much about that because I think that's more on the other side of where I live. But I don't know if this is appropriate or not, but I'd like to suggest that the EIR alternatives section includes a project alternative with substantially reduced density. And then also there needs to be at some point a construction process, a management program for where the trucks are going, how many trucks per day, what the hours are, and there needs to be a remedy for any damage to the existing streets. When they took the tanks out, they used Sicily Street, I think exclusively, and the street survived that, so it wasn't beat up particularly. But what I'd like to plant a little seed, and that is, if the project goes forward, I think it would be really advisable to have this traffic spread out so no one street gets hit with all the traffic. And that may be a little bit difficult because that would probably involve the extension of the streets rather than having one street in and out of the project. I don't believe there's two streets that serve this current design. So basically, it's a big giant cul-de-sac. Is that correct?
That's actually one of the changes that the applicant did make in response to Planning Commission direction at conceptual review. I don't know.
Okay, because I think there's a public safety issue there. If, you know, just for the project itself, if there's not two ways in and out, I think that's a state requirement now, Cal Fire.
Well, so just to clarify, so the applicant did change the circulation design, so it's okay. There's multiple access points. This is circular now.
I think my other concerns have already been covered, so I'll conclude. But thank you very much for holding the meeting, and it'd be nice to have another one.
Yeah. Thank you. I see people looking like they might want to get up and speak. We want as many comments as possible, so I know sometimes it can be a little scary getting up here and talking, but I would love to hear from as many people as possible.
Hello, my name is Patrick Swadner. I live on Mindoro and Tide. question I have is about, I know it may not be relative to what we're talking about today, but shouldn't the construction company be required to prep all the streets that they before they even bring trucks on it, so it's so that so they can do their job without destroying the street first and then repairing it later? Prep everything that they need so infrastructure and traffic flow makes it easier for all the residents. That's all.
I just had a couple questions I wanted clarified. So we had our meetings at the Del Mar School, and then we had the meeting on 11-7-23. With all those comments, are they going to be included in your notes? And also, during the process of removing the tanks, the sewer lines were a big issue, and there was an agreement with the property owner that if any of the residents have a sewer line that's damaged, that the applicant would fix the sewer line that goes to the house. Well, the property owner told everybody you have to videotape your sewer line before the project gets started of removing the tanks, and so no one has the money to videotape their sewer lines. But in the EIR, I really believe that the sewer lines, the clay sewer lines, need to be addressed, and the property owner should be responsible to upgrade our sewer lines. I mean, there needs to be some benefit to the citizens there, because they are going to impact our infrastructure. And I hope that all the questions that were asked throughout this meeting get to be answered before the end. Thank you.
Thank you. And to respond to that question, so we will go back and review all of the notes from previous meetings as we scope the EIR, and as RINCOM begins to work on the draft EIR, those won't necessarily be considered comments on the notice of preparation, but they will be reviewed and considered as we scope the environmental impact report and prepare that draft EIR. It seems like most people who wanted to speak have had a chance to already, some people multiple times. We're not going to be able to answer every technical question that was asked this evening, and a big reason for that is we just don't have all the answers yet. Again, we're early in the process. We're collecting information. With that said, I do want to look to Chris and Brian, though, and see if you took notes on any kind of technical or process questions that you could respond to right now. Sorry to put you on the spot.
I guess I would, Erlyn will let me know if I'm speaking out of turn, say that we've heard a number of environmental topics raised by people as things that are not identified in the initial study documentation as requiring further discussion in the EIR, that commenters have stated they would like to see further discussion of, and that is a conversation that we'll be having with city staff to determine how to proceed on each of those. But all of those comments are documented here, and we will be responding to them in some capacity in the document, possibly with increased detail, certainly with new information that we don't currently have about those topics. I will just kind of off the top of my head, the geology and soils concerns raised by nearly every person that came up is something that I think we're going to need to have a conversation with city staff about how we want to make sure that topic is thoroughly addressed in the EIR. Traffic concerns. One note that I would add, and I don't want to be professorial about this, but there were a lot of comments about what you all termed human impacts, and I think there's a distinction that needs to be made for me to sort of respond effectively to that. There are a number of things that I think we all would classify as human impacts that are absolutely environmental impacts that are required to be included in an environmental impact report. things like noise that you've raised, things like traffic safety that you've raised, hazards, hazardous materials impacts that you've raised. Folks mentioned dust. That is part of the air quality issues that need to be addressed in an environmental impact report. So I just want to be clear that my comment about things that are not legally permitted to be included in an EIR, that is specifically social impacts that do not have any nexus with a physical change. So things like dust, that's a physical change. That's going to be discussed, things like that. And then fiscal impacts are explicitly outside of the scope of the environmental impact report. But I know commenters have raised concerns about fiscal effects of the projects. Certainly, it's well outside of my expertise, and it's not something that you know, we would be evaluating in the environmental impact report. But it is, I would expect, going to be a subject of lively conversation with city decision makers who will have to make their determination about the project in the public sphere and hearing all of your comments about this project.
I'd like to say, too, I'm very accessible, 955 Shasta Avenue. I've met with a number of you in my office to talk about this project. I've met with some of you on the site before, and if you have more questions, call me, call Kim, schedule a meeting. I'm accessible. I'm here and available to meet and continue to answer questions as the project moves forward. And I guess in closing, I would like to say thank you so much for taking time out of your evening. I was very impressed with the comments. I think really spot on, very specific, detailed, and I genuinely believe it's going to result in a better process and a better environmental document. So thank you very much.